Podcast Network. Today on this episode of the Hey Guys, I'm Back show, we're going to talk a little bit about an update, what's been going on, what kept you out this entire week, and what happened to one of my family members this week that was a very, very big deal. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is March the 16th, 2015. It is beginning of the week Monday. That's right. So, hey, guys,
I've been gone so long
for you guys. Let's talk back in the saddle. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about where the heck has Trey been. I promise that it has not been in a neglect of you guys. We've had some pretty serious things going on here at the Homestead Day Gibson that, funny enough, aren't foster kid related. We had a pretty massive surgery that had to occur pretty quickly this last week, and we had to get my wife in for some surgery, and that was pretty intensive, and it really messed her up. So I took about a little over a week and a few days off of work, as well as here from the Family Podcast Network. But I want to let you guys know we're back in the saddle. We're ready to roll. And I'll explain to you guys a little bit about what happened there and give you guys kind of an update on what's going on here at Homestead Day Gibson, kid-wise, family-wise, and otherwise. Before we get into that, some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast, our mailing list is slowly growing bigger and bigger and bigger. It's the one thing that I told myself. I said, if this thing doesn't really catch, I'm going to give it up, because it costs money. And so... if we can't, I mean, if it just looks like it's being a flop, we're not going to do it. But the reality is people love the email notification, and they sign up, and I bet you I've had one or two people that have ever unsubscribed from that in the last 2 years. And so simple, easy way to do that, go to thefamilypodcast.com, and over on the right-hand side, you'll see, you may have to scroll down just a little bit, but you'll see where you can enter your name and your email address. Once you click that, sign, boom, whenever you click, yes, it does say boom on it. Whenever you click on that, it'll put you on a special list of people. Every time I push a new show on this, and it posts, and it goes live, you get an email saying, hey, it's just real quick and simple saying, there's a new episode out, here's what it's about, come check it out, and it gives you a link to get there. So super easy, super simple. It doesn't overload you. We never sell your information. It is encrypted, protected, all that other good jazz. So jump over there and consider doing that. Also, guys, don't forget to support the show. 30 cents per episode. If it feels like you guys are getting three dimes for every single one of these episodes that you're getting, consider becoming a PTAC. You can do that as simple as $5 a month. If you're saying, hey, listen, I'm willing to give up $5, you know, a Starbucks coffee, whatever, just to help Trey continue to do this stuff, consider doing that by becoming a PTACer. The button may be in a funky spot, and we're looking at hiring somebody who's going to be able to put that button in the back in the right place, and you can also do it at an entire year, which is some people's favorite ways of doing it as well. So consider doing one of those two things. Whenever you do that, you do get access to exclusive membership stuff that's available only to you guys. You do get instant access to me. I actually, anytime somebody becomes a PTACer and they send me an email, it actually flags it, and it tells me that you're a PTACer, which means you get responses quick, fast, in a hurry, versus a lot of times I'm at the mercy of all the different emails I've got to go through. So anyway, consider doing that. We also are having all the episodes that we have Family Podcast Network saved on there, so that way if you're one of those kinds, you don't always have the ability to stream your music, you can actually download every show of the Family Podcast Network, start at episode one and work your way up. We've got a couple of folks that have loved doing that. It's a lot of shows. It's a lot of shows. We're recording 360 today, and but you get it, and it's easy for you. And last, guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, topics that you want to send us, we've got a lot of folks that are kind of our topic flagship people that send a lot of stuff our way, but we want your article, the thing that you're interested in, something that you thought was good, shoot it over to us, and we'll feature it on a Media Sucks Monday episode. We love talking about what you guys love talking about. So anyway, consider doing that as well. All right, guys, with all of that mess out of the way, let's get into our topic for today. Sorry for all the banging and crashing, guys. We're working on some new hardware in here to help speed the connection up, and it fell. So may not be fast anymore. All right, let's talk again into our topic for today, which is just a little bit of an update on Trey. Where the heck has Trey been? What's been going on? Why were we out for an entire week? I actually got quite a bit of email saying, I'm kind of glad you were taking off this week. They said, because we needed to catch up on a lot of these shows. I forget, sometimes when you hammer out three shows a week, people have a hard time keeping up with that. And so that was a bit of a surprise to me, but fair enough, I definitely get that. So where have we been? What's been going on? My wife has, for about 2 years now, had some pretty significant shoulder pain. And we really weren't sure. For those of you guys maybe who are new listeners, my wife's name is Corey. And we always assumed that it was an accident she was in. She was rear-ended. She had stopped at an intersection. Person behind her didn't pay attention, and I just smashed into her. Well, she looked up in a rearview mirror. She saw it about to hit her. She said, I could see her looking down at her phone texting. But she said she clenched her arm, so when she hit, she was clenching the steering wheel, and just her body went into her, slammed into her arm, but it didn't buckle the elbow, and it held tight, and it just kind of messed things up. And so from that point on, she always kind of had some shoulder pain that developed probably about 6 or 8 months after that. She always kind of suspected that maybe it was something about that. So anyway, it finally got bad enough that things were just not doing well, and we had gone in for multiple injections and stuff like that to see if we could, get the pain to kind of subside and let that spot heal. Nothing was happening. It was just getting worse and worse. So finally, my doctor referred her out to a bone and joint clinic, and I take that back. We did some PT, and PT looked at us like, man, this is weird. You're acting like you have multiple tears in your body. So we finally went and got an MRI done on it, and they took a look at it and said that basically my wife had a congenital defect where she actually grew an extra portion of bone on her scapula. So there was basically an extra chunk of about an inch long to an inch wide to an inch tall piece of extra muscle or extra bone growing on her scapula that when every time she was moving, that bone was cutting into her ligaments and her muscle tissue and just tearing it up. And so basically what we wound up having to do is we had to put her under a fairly non-invasive, what do they call it? It's not laparoscopic or lacroscopic, but orthoscopic. They put her under orthoscopic incisions, which is just a tiny little X's that they made. And they went in there and they basically just cut that piece of bone out and then cut away all the messed up muscle tissue and then cleaned that up and pulled it out. So anyway, we did that on not last Thursday, but the Thursday before, and I took off that Thursday, Friday, and then that entire last week, which was spring break. We timed that as best as we could. And anyway, she had that surgery, but she was on a no doing anything forever type clause. So we took a little bit of a break there. The good thing about situations like these is that, my wife is a stay-at-home mom, and doing things like this always gives me a very deep respect for the work that she does, because you just forget. And I found myself going into the room where my wife was resting and just laying there with her. And she goes, are you doing okay? Are you all right? I was just like, I just need to be around an adult for a minute. Because when you're just around irrational kids long enough, there reaches that point where you're just like, I need an adult. And I hit that at several points. And I just you develop a very deep appreciation for what stay-at-home moms and stay-at-home dads do. And how much time you spend around kids and how they really are different little beings and you have to respect them as such, but man, they can really wear on you. They can wear on you real quick. But it was a good experience getting to see all the stuff that my wife does and the jobs that she performs and the stuff behind the scenes. I pretty quickly found myself missing my friend. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that my wife is single-handedly the best friend that I've got. And I've got some great friends. I mean, some really great quality friends. Jeff from the Real Family Guys podcast is one of those just fantastic friends. But there's no doubt she's my best friend. And I found myself really starting to miss her towards the end there. So, taking care of her, doing really well on that. The doc put on some pretty decent drugs, and they really helped. And really, my wife came out just fine out of it. And she was hurting, but she was able to take her meds. And eventually they reached that point where the doc said, okay, you need to get yourself off your drugs and start moving to a lighter medication. So we switched her over to ibuprofen. And really, again, she was doing really great. I mean, very what she called very manageable pain. And she described it as like a Charlie horse on the top, but like a knife on the inside. So if you move your arm just wrong, the knife pushes out and cuts through your skin. So that was kind of the example of the pain she described. But really, when you kept it immobile, she was doing pretty good with it. And anyway, up until about a day and a half ago, she was doing really well like that. But then all of a sudden, she kind of took a nosedive, and it started getting very worse, which we did a little bit of research on. It looks like that's not very uncommon for people who have had surgery, that as the deep tissue healing is beginning, that the body will actually sensitize that area around it, so that way you don't want to move it. In other words, it hurts to move it. So it actually kind of, in its own way, allows itself to immobilize the area that's been traumatized. So that way you won't move it, so that way that deep tissue healing and that bone healing can occur. And so anyway, that's kind of where we've been the last couple of days. And so anyway, it's just been, it's been difficult. And I really thought, guys, I was going to podcast at least once or twice last week. But once you get to the end of the day where you've been handling kids and you're trying to keep a house clean and you've been washing clothes and you've been changing sheets and you've been changing diapers. And I mean, you got six kiddos in a home. I found myself getting to the end of the day. I was like, okay, let's sit down. Let's think about a topic. And then I'd wake up at 1 a.m. on the couch. I mean, this is no joke. So I elected to finally just call off shows, and bless Jeff's heart, man. He is just chomping at the bit to get in there, because apparently he found us an amazing show to do for our next one. And I've had to tell him no show the last two Thursdays. And let me tell you, he is ready to get back in the saddle and I do a Real Family Guys podcast. But anyway, that's where we've been. I want you guys to know we're still kicking heavy duty and strong here at the Family Podcast Network, and we're not fading out or anything like that. We're just in a position to where we need a little bit of recovery time. We're doing good now, and so anyway, I just wanted to give you guys a quick update on that. So far, everything looks good. We had our checkup a while back. The doc said that Corey's doing so well that he's not going to require to come into PT as long as she can do it at home. The good thing is my wife is kind of a hoss. And so she pushes herself pretty hard, and the docs really are liking that she pushes her arms and she does workouts and strengthening stuff, and it's really helping out, and it encouraged the doctors to see where she's at, because she's recovering and healing very, very fast. So anyway, it has absolutely been a heck of a last week and a couple of days. I'm glad tomorrow I do head back to my daytime job, which is good, because I suspect we're a little behind on things. But at the same time, I'm not looking a whole heck of a lot forward to it, because Corey's just not where I want to see her be. Update on some other things and how things are going on at the Homestead de Gibson. We are looking good. We are looking very good in terms of behaviors. And a lot of you guys know that we have our almost adopted kiddo, Sweet Tea. We did her adoption placement this last Thursday, which is just kind of like the official meeting where we sign all the paperwork and say, yes, we are going to adopt her, and she's officially going to be ours. So now we punted the ball back to our lawyer. We're all paid up on our lawyer fees. We're all paid up. I mean, all done on our paperwork, and it really is just how quick the lawyer can file the paperwork, so that way we can officially get her into the adoption process, so that way she can become ours. Behaviorally, things have been going very good. And I'm going to disclose to you guys some pretty sensitive stuff for me, not for her, but for my own stuff, just in terms of how we've done it. You know, for those of you guys who are maybe new listeners, y'all haven't heard yet, but we had a lot of behavioral issues with our little Sweet Tea, and her name is Tia. And for those who have wondered, we're at that point now where we can release her full name. It's Tia Diane Gibson, and Diane is my wife's middle name. And so anyway, we took her in, and she had a lot of trauma. This little baby girl was because I'm saying a lot of this stuff, guys, because we're so close to adoption. Now we're allowed to release a lot of this information because she's my kid now. But she was severely neglected by her mother, who was taking care of her. She mom was a prostitute, and she was little Sweet Tia was actually in a position to where she was having to fend for herself at the ages of about 1.5 to 2 years old. She literally was having to feed herself. And grandma actually had noticed that there was something wrong, and that Tia was getting stomach aches all the time. She could never figure out why. Mom would never let her come over to the house to see what was up. Finally got to go over there one day, and she saw that there was just rotten food all over the ground, and there was nibbles that had been taken off recently out of everything. So like stuff with mold and stuff with dirt and stuff with hair packed into it had been eaten on it. And what we suspect was happening was that Tia was actually eating this food off of the floor. And there's no telling what she saw in terms of other traumatic type stuff. I mean, we can only begin to speculate considering what mom's profession was. And mom was also very abusive and violent to everybody else. There's nothing to suspect that she wasn't to this little kiddo as well. So she came to us with a lot of trauma. And she was diagnosed with something that's called reactive attachment disorder. And basically, when kids have a need to connect with people, and whenever they have parents that don't have the ability to connect, whether that's through abuse or whether that's through fear or reactive attachment of their own, they often get to that point to where they kind of get numbed out to connecting with people. We were designed to connect with people. And they reach a point where it's like, why connect with this foster family? Why connect with this person here? Why connect with my grandparents? They're going to leave me just like mom and dad did, just like all my foster parents did. And so it becomes easier for them just to push people away through repulsive behaviors, whether it's screaming, yelling, throwing poop, pee, you know, peeing on people, spitting on them. We've had all those happen to us. And so it was very difficult those first few months, because in our mindset, even though I walked into it knowing this could happen, I still wound up sitting there going, seriously, little kid, we have given you a fantastic freaking home. Why are you being like this? And it was baffling. I mean, we really couldn't figure it out. I mean, it was something that was just like, even knowing what I used to work with kids that were diagnosed reactive attachment. And it, when you're in it, it's just another ball game than whenever you're trying to help somebody through it. And so we were just shocked at the attitude, because everything about the way we were approaching behaviorally, Corey and I, the way she was approaching us was designed to repulse us and to push us away. And so we really had to fight that invitation that she was giving us to not like her. And so, but being real straight with everybody, you know, I want to be upfront with us about this in case any of you guys ever decide to foster, and adopt a kiddo. You know, for us, you know, I mean, I really found myself struggling to love, you know, to fall in love with my baby. You know, with all of my kids, there has always been some piece about them that was easy to fall in love with. Maybe they had the best laugh or the greatest, you know, the most curliest, funnest hair, or they were super kind or excellently thoughtful, or they had just a great caring heart. There was always something. You know, one of them was, we always had one kid that was encouraging. There was always just something that was giving, right? And it was precious. When babies come out, what do? They smile and they coo, and that's kind of giving something back into all the work we put into them that we love. And this was a baby who had trained herself to give nothing back. Because if you give something back, that person falls in love. If the person falls in love, then eventually they're going to leave just like everybody else has. Reminds you, this is stinking thinking, not necessarily accurate thought. But that's what the thinking goes through the kiddo's head with this, right? And so we were just having a heck in a handbag, and it was difficult to connect with her emotionally. And but, you know, we began to push. I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and they were listening to my story about this. And they were like, Trey, how in the world did you do that? I mean, what motivates a person to continue to do that amidst a kid who is trying to push you away? And the answer really is pretty simple. Number one, you have to believe. Let me rephrase this. This is what I had to hold on to. And I'm not saying this mentality came easy. I'm saying I had to grab onto it with nails and teeth and biting and gnashing just to hang on to this as tight as I could. But I had to believe that it is not about my needs. It is not about my needs. Don't get me wrong. My needs are important. And I'm not saying that you ignore or avoid your own personal needs. But what I'm saying is that my needs my Tia's needs were just as important as my own. And I just had to hang on to that pretty tight. I had to hang on to the fact that it was difficult. But the answer to that was is that I had to remember that she comes with trauma, and we knew she comes with trauma. And because of that, we knew that she needed to have the absolute best therapeutic parents that she can. Now, I don't want to approach this and make you guys think, oh, well, what a neat guy that he did all this. Guys, I screwed up so many times with her. I screwed up and I did things and I was like, maybe that wasn't the best approach. I wish I would have done it this way instead. I wish I would have acted this way or said it that way or not yelled or whatever else. But for the most part, our approach was, what does this baby girl need? The other part of it is that we really believe that adoption is one of the truest forms of love that you can get to. Now, you know, we've never hidden it here at the Family Podcast Network I'm a firm believer in the God of the Christian Bible. A part of that is that it talks about God views people or people that aren't his Jewish people as his adopted children. And so we really believe that that's, you know, the heart of God is the fostering, the adoptive mindset. Because you got to think about it. And I'm going to explain it first as how my kids in this family saw it, and then also how that applied to how God saw it. So no, let's flip it around. Let's do it how God saw it. So God had his people. the Jewish race, and he created this Jewish race, and he taught them what he believed, what was the right way to do things, what was the wrong way to do things, and how to do things right, and why we want to do them right. And he taught them all of these things, right? And at one period of time, he said, don't have anything to do with those around you. Don't have anything to do with these other cultures. They called them pagan, but pagan cultures, because they'll influence you and they'll lead you down a road you don't want to go. It's not my road, and they're tempting, and they're difficult not to go down. So stay away from them. In some cases, he said, kill them all. Don't let them influence you. Now, guys, this is not some, you know, this is not my suggestion for you to become homicidal or anything like that with people that think differently than you. That's not what my point is. But God was basically saying, don't associate yourself with anybody that's not you, because they're going to bring in junk that you don't want in your lives. Well, there reaches a point to where God finally says in the Bible, it recounts that he said, okay, I want to reach out to people that aren't just my own people. And he said, I want to adopt. He said, I want to find adopted children. Paul writes about it in some of the epistles, not the epistles, in some of his books to some of the churches, where he talks about the adoptive children of God. And you know, when you think about that, that's impressive. Because what he was saying was, I am now willing to accept in to my love. My love is enough that I want to accept in all these people who are did not come from my from what I teach. They didn't come up growing up knowing what I believe is right and wrong. They didn't grow up knowing what our rules are. They didn't grow up understanding exactly what it means to be a follower of me. And I accept the fact that they're going to come with their mess. They're going to come with their bad habits. They're going to come with their outside, quote unquote, pagan influences. That's okay. I want to take them in and I want to teach them how to be the way I designed humans to be, because I love them. You see the parallels there? In my household, I had kids that were raised by us, that were taught by us, that understood our rules, that understood everything about us, and knew in most cases why it is that we are that way as a family. And yet what we did was we went and invited somebody who not only had no idea what our rules were, they had no idea why our rules were those rules, and not only that, came with tons of really bad habits and baggage and junk, right? We invited that kiddo into our home and said, you are now a child of the Gibson family. And it was messy. And it was rough. But you see, I don't think we can really understand that heart of God. It's for us, it's put a perspective on this. Because I'm not a Jew. I didn't grow up with Jewish belief systems, though I grew up with Christianity from a young man. I still wasn't a Jew. I didn't practice the things that God had them practice. I still came with all the bad habits and the influences of everything that was out there. And yet God said, I still want Trey to be my kiddo, so I'll adopt him. I'll bring him in with all his bad habits, with all of his influences, with all of his mess. I want him with me. You see, I couldn't understand that in the fullest until I became an adoptive parent, and we had to hang on to that. And that really is most fundamentally what got us through some of these mentalities here. How do we get through to this point when somebody tries to reject you so hard that we can receive them into our family, that we can love them even though they are trying to give us everything to not love? And that's how we've done it. And I'll tell you, it's starting to really pay off. What we've noticed behaviorally in Tia is that we're beginning to see some great behavior surface. You know, we always talked about a lot of times when kids grow up in traumatic situations and they become reactive attachments, they don't want to actually attach with anybody. And so a lot of the emotions that they experience, they really aren't feeling. And so they've actually kind of numbed themselves out emotionally so that way they don't connect with people, right? And so what they'll do, however, is they will emulate certain emotions. So they will maybe emulate sadness, or they will emulate happiness, or they will emulate excitement. And what that means is they put all the expressions to make them look like they are feeling these emotions, but deep down inside it's not an authentic thing. And we notice that, for instance, with her excitement, with her happy. She would laugh these laughs that when you would listen to, you would think that's not real. That's forced. That is not an authentic laugh of pure joy and excitement. That is a forced laugh. And it was always so fascinating. And just the other day, we were coming back from town. I think we had gone to Corey's shoulder follow-up appointment. And they were in the back, and she was sitting next to my son, Grant. And they were playing back there, and we heard the laugh. And for the very first time, Corey and I looked at each other and said, now that was real. That was a real laugh of excitement. You see, for that split second, she put her shields down. And she let Grant, of all people, who would get through to her first? Of course, it would be my son. My beautiful, wonderful, soft-hearted, delightful son is the first person who would connect with her on a real level. And she giggled a real, the most real giggle I've ever heard her ever give. We've noticed that the poop flinging and the peeing and all that stuff has settled down for the most part. We're still having some nighttime issues that we're having to work with peeing, but we're getting better. We really are getting better in this, and we're beginning to see growth, and we're beginning to see steps in the right direction, and no more daytime stuff, which was a really major thing when we first got her. There was a lot of daytime stuff, a lot of pooping. The pooping stuff is gone. We haven't had any issues with that anymore. The last major meltdown we had was over a month and a half ago, which you have to understand, we were having at minimum 3 to 5 of those a day. I don't know if I can express to you what I mean when I say a full meltdown. And we're talking in hours on at a time, from anywhere from an hour to 3 hours at a time, just crying and just melting down, flopping around, storming, breaking stuff. I mean, it was pretty rough. And so, you know, we haven't seen one of those in over a month and a half, which is phenomenal. And I want you guys to hear me very carefully say this, but I had somebody the other day ask me how. How do you do that? And it was actually one of our workers, because we've seen results very, very fast with this little kiddo who was so deeply entrenched in this. And really the answer is, I mean, there's a lot of answers to it, and I gave him the core tenets, but it's what we follow here at the Family Podcast Network. People are people. You treat a person like a person, a kid is a person. And when you do those things, when you practice love, when you practice that firmness, whenever you treat humans, you treat them like little human beings, it's amazing the results that you can produce. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot more tenets to what it is than just those few things. I mean, there's 360 episodes that you can go catch up on to figure that out. But it all comes down to trying to remove the heart of war from the way we approach our kids, and it works. It absolutely most phenomenally and fundamentally works, and we love it. And so all of that to say, we've had some incredible experiences with her. Really, we're at that point now that our worst of worst days are now better than our best of best days when we first got her. And we're just seeing some great stuff. She has proven herself to be a hard worker, and she really latches on to work. She loves to go to work. She's always asking, what can I do extra? Because we have a set of chores that we require our kids to use and to participate in when it comes to, like, you know, just basic chores. Picking up clothes, picking up toys, picking up trash, you know, just basically making the house look nice. And that's how they earn, like, their iPads and their iPad time and the use of the internet and all that other good stuff. I mean, that's how they pay that off for us, is they help us keep the house straight. But they also have extra chores that they can do that typically are things that aren't their jobs at all, like picking up sticks in the yard. We had a tree branch fall recently. I had to cut it up with a chainsaw, but there was a lot of little tiny sticks and branches left over. And so, you know, the little extra job, it's not really their job, but we're willing to pay them for it. Or maybe one of the kid wants to clean up the other two kids, you know, room. We have the bigger kids have a room of their own, and so they can go in there. You know, she often says, can I clean Anna and Grant's room? And she'll go in there and she'll clean up all the room by herself. And so she's really latched on to some of this idea of hard work and what hard work can earn her, and she loves to earn it. Let me tell you, that little girl loves to earn her hard work and money. And sometimes she wants candy picks and gum picks, and sometimes she wants cash because she wants to buy something. But she's really started to connect. If you work hard, you play hard. And she absolutely is loving that mentality. The other thing she's really started connecting and catching on to has been the idea of kindness and gentleness, and she's really starting to figure that out. One other thing that we've noticed too is that we're really starting to learn how, we've taught her some techniques on how to keep herself from moving into kind of that rage mode we talked about with the tantrums, those weird, crazy tantrums. And we just call it, it's time, you know, once you breathe, baby, is what it comes down to. And so she really practices kind of a therapeutic breathing technique I used to teach clients years ago. And she's latched right onto that. And it really helps bring her down. It really helps bring her down. And so anyway, we're still having some little issues with, like, kind of being rotten to Charlotte, the 2-year-old. Problematically, Charlotte can be rotten to her as well. And so they kind of get in these little collusion back and forth, being turds at each other. And and we're really working on finding that with her. But we've just had a phenomenal experience. You know, all things said, we've had a phenomenal experience, and things have been going very well. And, you know, we're starting to see hope. And all of that to say is that I'm starting to feel that little piece of myself that's fallen in love with her, and that's beginning to see, oh, you're my favorite because... fill in the blank. And we have that saying in our household, you're my favorite. And what that always is that you're my favorite, and then, you know, because you do these things. And it goes back to a comment that was actually in a book called The Shack. But there was this one particular character in the book that was supposed to be a portrayal of God, Jesus, that kind of thing. And he was telling him, he said, you're my favorite, and you're my favorite, and you're my favorite. And one of the character made a comment. He said, but you tell everybody that they're your favorite. And he just smiles and he says, exactly. But the concept behind it was that he was so in love with his kids, with his creations in this case, that there were always those things about him that, you know, you're my favorite fill in the blank, you're my favorite laugh, you're my favorite kindness, you know, and so this mentality was that he equally falls that deeply in love that person is his favorite for each person. And we've struggled, or at least I have struggled personally, to find that in Tia, and I'm getting it now. I'm beginning to see those things in her little personality that I just love, and I never want to be without. Update on little Axel. He's our 8 month old. Actually, he's 9 months old now. But anyway, this is Tia's half sibling. And he is doing very, very well, and he's doing very healthy. You know, when I was growing up in college, it always seemed like any time I had a class that was really ridiculously hard, like anatomy and physiology with the combined lab, I would always kind of freak out about it. And then I would, you know, I'd get the class, and I'd see the gigantic book, and I'd see all the stuff that I was going to have to memorize, and I would freak out. You know, but it seems like every time that happened, there would always wind up being that class that balanced it out, that all you had to do was just show up and you got 100. You know what I'm saying? And every year, every single year like that, I'd have that one class that I would just be deer in headlights. Oh my God, I ain't going to make it. And then I'd always have that class that I was like, oh, this is a breeze, man. This is great. Or I love this so much. This comes to me easily. This won't be a problem. And I always had that. And it seems as though that's happened now. Axel is just so ridiculously laid back and easygoing. He has absolutely, I mean, he just is low fuss, very, very easygoing, super smiley, getting so engaged with the world around him and wanting to explore and whatnot. He's not quite crawling yet, but he's pushing up on all fours and he's doing the backward army reverse crawl and stuff like that. It's all really cute, but he is just so easygoing. And so laid back as a kiddo that, you know, it's just he was our balanced class kid, and so he's been very, very super easygoing. In terms of what's gonna happen, we don't know yet. It sounds like mom and dad have messed up a lot now. There's been a couple of visits that I've run them to that they just didn't show up, and they haven't been making their phone calls to confirm that they're gonna be there, and then they are confirming, you know, hours after they were supposed to, saying, oh yeah, we'll be there now, and so they've burned a lot of bridges. And we've still got to take it to court. Not we, but CPS is still going to take it to court. We are desperately hoping that he's going to be our son. The reality is, no matter what happens, he's my son already. I mean, there's no possible way at all that I could ever see him as anything but that at this point. There's just not. And even if he has to wind up going back to mom and dad, which I just don't think he will, I will forever say that I have two sons. And that he was one of them. So anyway, we're pretty hopeful that he's going to get to stay with us. And we've done everything we've needed to do, and parents haven't. So here's hoping for all you guys out there. I ask for thoughts and prayers on that. If you're not a believer in that, just, you know, be thinking about us. And if you are a believer, we ask for that you would pray for favor, and that we'll see him become our kiddo, and that he gets to be our second adopted kiddo. And we're pretty excited about that. And then last, this is kind of the last thing, and I'll go ahead and wrap it up on this. We're also looking at potentially purchasing this house here. We're pretty excited about that. We've always kind of wanted this place, and we've always kind of felt like we were going to want to buy it. We're a little concerned about some things that happened this week and how the folks that own the house are going to respond to basically kind of our offer that we provided them. We're afraid that they're going to feel like they're getting lowballed, but we did an appraisal on the house, and the appraisal came out under the amount that they had offered us pretty significantly. And we've got a good relationship with the homeowners, and so we're really hoping that our counteroffer, what the bank is willing to pay, won't burn us too much. In other words, it won't make them so angry they don't want to sell us the house anymore. We're hoping it won't. We're hoping we can cash in on the relationship that we've shared with them up until this point to get there. But we're at the mercy of what the bank will loan, and the bank's not going to loan anything over what an appraisal comes out at, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately. I'm glad that we're paying what the bank's willing to pay now. But there is that kind of that
we're not overpaying.
Just afraid that it's going to upset them enough that we may be having to move. So here in a year, here in a month or so, y'all may be hearing that I'm going to have to take a latency period again as we get moved into a new house. I'm really hoping not, and I'm really hoping that we'll be able to square this away. But we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated on that. All right, I think that is everything that keeps you guys caught up with where we are here at the Homestead Day Gibson. I am very ready to be back in the saddle. I sure do love recording and visiting with you guys. Please feel free to continue to send your emails to us. I love hearing from you guys and what's going on with you, so shoot those over to us. Don't forget to join us over at Facebook. We have a lot of conversations over there as well, and we love talking about stuff, sharing ideas, thoughts, memes, and etc. So come join us there. If nothing else, hope you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you all on Wednesday.